The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Is there anyone on the Republican side you might consider if it's not Trump?
It has to be Joe Biden. And I'm glad he's willing to serve. It has to be somebody committed to the rule of law, committed to the values of this country. And there's no one else but Joe Biden.
There's the dirtiest cop in U.S. history, James Comey, saying he's not just saying anyone but Trump. He's saying no one but Biden. She asks him if it's not Trump, anybody else on the Republican side? It's got to be Biden. It's got to be Biden, the head of the Biden crime family, because if he goes down, we're going to go down with him. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. We're coming to you live from our beautiful Edstone studio. Of course, yesterday, Richard Palmer filled in for us from the Edstone studio. We appreciate that. You can get to his show from yesterday at our Rumble channel. Just search for the Trumpet Daily, or you can go to our website, trumpetdaily.com, and also get to those previous podcasts. Of course, the live show comes to you every day here at 11 a.m. in the Central Time Zone of the United States, and that would be 5 p.m. in the Edstone Time Zone. I guess 6 p.m. in the Netherlands and 7 p.m. in Israel. So just a few updates on the different time zones. We've got listeners or viewers coming in from all around the world. So Richard was filling in yesterday because we were in Wilmington, Delaware. That's right, the home of Joe Biden, the only one that can save America, says Jim Comey. Wilmington, when you think of what we were doing, very exciting news to report to you. Sam has prepared, along with Jesse and our team, he's prepared quite a few video clips to make the job a little bit easier today for yours truly. We had a late night coming back from the Wilmington show. You've got the Wilmington Pack. That was on Sunday afternoon. My father giving his address that went for a little over an hour and a half, and I think more than 60 or 70 trumpet readers, 30-some people signed up for a follow-on Bible study, so a really successful event. After a nearly two-hour event, I think there were those that stayed after for another hour and a half to speak with many of the PCG ministers that were on hand, besides my father, who stayed there pretty late himself. So we've got lined up for today's show. We've got just a little snippet from my father's presentation, about 15 minutes or so, of him opening his pack address to the crowd in Wilmington. Together with that, we've got, I think, a little over 2 minutes of feedback from those who attended the pack event. And then following the pack event, we had the Celtic Throne performance last night in Wilmington. That was before, I think, about 400 people in attendance. And as per usual, we've got another 2 minutes or so of audience feedback from the Celtic Throne show as well. So we've also got a current news or a news of the work segment lined up as well. If we don't have time to squeeze that in, we've got so much to get into. But if we don't have time for the news of the work, we'll play that on tomorrow's show. So while Mr. Palmer was filling in yesterday, Sam and I were able to, before the Celtic Throne performance, we were able to tour through Valley Forge, which was quite an inspiring visit. We're trying to compile a little information so that we can perhaps prepare a segment on that in the maybe a future program down the road. But, of course, the highlight when you visit Valley Forge, besides just seeing this beautiful state park that used to be where the U.S. military started for the most part, but they were there, as most people know, for 6 months through that winter of 1777, 1778, where they withstood the elements to survive and to get some training so that they could then begin to push back the British forces that had descended upon Philadelphia, which is just a little ways up from Valley Forge. But this home that you see there, that's George Washington, that's the home that he lived in for that six-month period. He lived in there. It's probably no more than about 1,000 square feet. And the attendant there that was showing us around said that he was in there with probably about 25 attendants, including Nathaniel Greene, Alexander Hamilton. He was in there with some of the bigwigs of the founding of the United States of America. So some fascinating history. This was, as Sam and I were discussing yesterday, I mean, this was like the peanut shell beginning for the United States of America. And those of you that know about the beginning of the Philadelphia Church of God, if you've read Raising the Ruins, you know that the critics early on were talking about, oh, it's just a peanut shell going nowhere, floating on an ocean, it's just going to disappear. And it would have been easy to view the founding of the United States the same way. But it grew, didn't it? It had God's blessing, as we well know. The United States and Britain in prophecy, it's up here somewhere. But if you want to read and study more about God's blessing upon Manasseh, the United States, and also on Great Britain, the greatest empire in the history of the world, read the United States and Britain in prophecy. All of these blessings that God has bestowed upon our nations, and we see those blessings being taken away. They're being replaced by curses because of our many sins. It's inspiring, and it's also somewhat sad to visit some of these sites, taking us back to our early beginnings, small beginnings, as it says in Zechariah 4. Because you see the inspiring start, but then you walk around the streets of Wilmington or any big city in the United States, and you see just how far removed we are from God. And of course, we're being punished because of it, and the punishment is only going to intensify, as my father discussed at that PAC event on Sunday. Speaking of some inspiring history, today is the 79th anniversary of the D-Day landings there on the shores of France. This is from an op-ed by Eric Hogan. He said, the single most important day of the 20... I'll get to Comey here in just a second. Just be patient. As I say, we've got a lot to get to today. The single most important day of the 20th century was 79 years ago, during the pinnacle of World War II. It will forever be remembered as D-Day, but the official code name was Operation Overlord. It says the Allies had designated 5 landing beaches along the Normandy coast from west to east: Utah, Omaha, Gold, Juno, and Sword. It says the Germans had been fooled to believe the most likely invasion beaches would be further northeast up the French coast near Calais. Calais is where we often entered into France for visits when we were living over there at Edstone. So they deceived the Germans and instead landed a little ways off to the west at these 5 locations. And of course, the most famous landing beach was Omaha, because that's where the Allied troops were just slaughtered. They lost something like 10,000 soldiers as they tried to take that beach. And this op-ed basically says that they came very close to evacuating. And Omaha was right in the middle. And so it would have really undermined the entire operation had they not stayed the course. The landings at the other beaches, Utah and such, there wasn't near as much resistance. It says, in the greatest intelligence deception of war, the Allies had convinced the Germans that the feared General George Patton would lead an amphibious assault across the channel to seize the Calais area. This effective deception played an important role in allowing the actual landings on 4 of the 5 Normandy beaches to go relatively smoothly. As I say, Omaha was the one exception. It says the exception here was Omaha Beach, which came frightfully close to becoming a disaster. And you have stories like this all throughout World War II. When God was blessing our nations, when God was intervening to save our nations. We've had segments before about the bombing of London there at the outset of World War II, or before that, I mean, the miraculous intervention at Dunkirk to just save the British troops. They were able to withdraw back to Britain instead of just getting slaughtered there in Dunkirk. These kinds of things, I mean, they happened all the time in history. It's not happening today, as my father talked about at the PAC. I mean, we're obviously not being blessed. God's not intervening on our behalf anymore. Why? Well, these are questions that you should consider as you study the United States and Britain in prophecy, or as you go through America Under Attack, which my father referred to a number of times at the PAC event in Wilmington. But here, just speaking now of the curses, because of our many sins, here's Jim Comey. He's a former FBI director, supposedly a Republican. And this woman, who was, by the way, the chief propagandist for Joe Biden at the start of his term, this woman, who's now on MSNBC, okay, that's the way that it works. We know this. But she's on there saying, if it's not Trump, is there any other Republican you can support? I mean, you're a Republican. He kind of smiles and says, only Joe Biden. Only Joe Biden? Are you not even another Democrat? What is wrong with these people? Well, I can tell you what's wrong with them. It's exactly like my father said in the January issue. Here it is. Ready for war. I mean, really what you're seeing, just with these revelations by Comey, unbelievable revelations, shameful revelations, you're seeing the battle lines are being drawn. They know that it's war. They know that with the communists in charge, they've been able to harass and persecute and chase after all things Trump, put many of them in jail if need be. And they know that if the tables are turned, that if Trump gets control of the DOJ and the FBI, that he's going to come after them. And they're basically admitting this. They're saying the silent part out loud. It's got to be Biden, says Comey. Nobody else. And what about Nikki Haley? What about Tim Scott? DeSantis, what about him? Only Biden. Can you imagine coming to a point in your, just in your political career, if you can call it that for Comey? He's really a hack. But to come to this point where you're so terrified of Donald Trump that it's got to be Biden and Biden alone. Listen to what Comey had to say on why it's important for the DOJ to hurry along with these investigations, because, hey, we've got to come across like we're not meddling in elections, and 2024 is a big election year. So if I'm right, they're probably hurrying. Jack Smith and the others, they're probably hurrying to try to get something done this summer. You know, to put Donald Trump behind bars, that is. Clip one.
They're feeling intense pressure to move, to move, to move. So they're not in the position of making a charging decision next year when Donald Trump may be the nominee. So I think they are likely working very, very hard and trying to get ahead of where even the normal pace of an investigation might be.
Ahead of the normal pace. So you got to hurry, because you've got to put the opposition behind bars before the American electorate has a chance to speak. And of course, he even spoke to that. he said it's basically possible for Donald Trump to be heading off to jail and to be voted in as president of these United States. Clip two.
Can you envision a scenario where Trump manages to win back the White House and justice is delayed?
I could. I don't want to, but I could. I mean, it's this crazy world that Donald Trump has dragged this country into, but he could be wearing an ankle bracelet while accepting the nomination at the Republican convention.
And could be wearing an ankle bracelet and be elected in November.
Yeah, we could have, it would be rejected if you put it in a script for a show, but you could have a president who is potentially incarcerated when he's elected president.
Wow, both of them. Even the host loves them some ankle bracelets. Yeah, he could win the nomination and be in ankle bracelets. And then she adds, he could actually win the presidency and be in ankle bracelets. These people are worried that they're going to be in ankle bracelets. So they want Jack Smith to hurry. Hurry! We've got to put him in jail now. And then listen to him. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. Listen to him talk about what another term for Donald Trump might look like. Clip three.
You said that Trump poses a near existential threat to the rule of law. But tell me a little bit about the specifics of what he could try to do. What do you mean by that?
Well, think about what 4 years of a retribution presidency might look like. He could order the investigation and prosecution of individuals who he sees as enemies. I'm sure I'm on the enemies list. Because the president constitutionally does oversee the executive branch entirely, which includes the Department of Justice, prosecutors and investigators.
A president could actually order an investigation into the political opposition? Has this ever happened before? Everything he said right there is exactly what Barack Hussein Obama has done and is doing. And he's bragging about it in the same interview. Jack Smith, hurry! We gotta hurry! Go after Trump! Put him in jail! We've got to get him in jail before we get into the election cycle so that we can then say, look, we're above board. We're totally objective here. We're not trying to interfere in the election at all. Every single word. What he's projecting is exactly what this dirty cop is guilty of himself. And of course, Barack Hussein Obama. He's the kingpin. He's heading up the crime family. But they know, these dirty cops, I mean, they know that if the Biden crime family goes down, well, they're exposed. All of them are exposed as covering up actual crimes, even as they go about trying to create crimes for Trump. This is from PJ Media. It says, it's now well established that the FBI has become thoroughly and possibly irreparably corrupt and politicized, serving as a thuggish arm of the leftist establishment rather than any kind of law enforcement agency. Its decline accelerated during the tenure of the intensely partisan leftist apparatchik James Comey as FBI director. But in the 6 years since Donald Trump removed Comey from office amid a storm of controversy, the lanky corruptocrat has shown not the slightest hint of introspection, much less regret. Instead, he just went on MSNBC to warn that a new Trump administration could see the president weaponizing the justice system. Trump gets in there, he could weaponize DOJ. He could weaponize FBI. As if that's not happening at the very moment. It says here, well, Comey certainly knows all about weaponizing federal agencies for partisan purposes. He certainly knows. And see, they fear Donald Trump. They also fear the founding of this great country. You go back to the beginning at Valley Forge. You go back to the first president, George Washington, and all of those founding fathers who put together a constitution. And before that, a declaration that limits the power of government. They've expanded government. They've gotten control of the bureaucracy, the deep state, the administrative state. And of course, right now, politically, the communists are in power. They stole the election, of course. And they fear the American people deciding on another candidate. See, Jim, in another age, not that long ago, Jim Comey, in response to that question at the top of the show, would have said, you know what, I hope it's not Donald Trump. I would prefer Joe Biden. But, you know, that's the beauty of our constitutional republic. The American people get to decide. They get to choose. But as I say, they're saying the quiet part out loud now. They're just coming out openly saying, we have got to do everything we can to stop the democratic process from going forward and get rid of Trump, probably DeSantis too, so that we know that Biden retains control. And by that, of course, they mean Barack Obama. Listen to him with Jen Psaki as he talks about the Constitution and how that it, you know, it gives rogue presidents. It does give rogue presidents power. But of course, that rogue president, in Comey's mind, it's not Joe Biden or Barack Obama. It's the bad orange man, of course, clip four.
And so our Constitution really does give a rogue president, which is what this would be, tremendous power to destroy. And so that's why I'm trying to warn people.
He's on the circuit. He's trying to, he's doing the Paul Revere thing. He's trying to warn America. It's only Biden who's really upholding the rule of law. I mean, he's saying all of this as another James, James Comer, is out there saying, you know, we're just trying to get a document from the FBI that proves Biden was in on a bribery scheme and this is what the FBI is especially sensitive about. Of course, they're covering up the Biden crimes, but the document also exposes the FBI as covering up the Biden crimes. So listen to Jim Comer now, James Comer, yesterday. He's met with Chris Wray. They've gone back and forth. The document doesn't exist. Well, now, yes, it does exist. We'll let you see the document. No, we can't let you see the document. Now they're hiding behind the fact that there's ongoing investigations, don't you know? Clip six.
Today, FBI officials confirmed that the unclassified FBI-generated record has not been disproven and is currently being used in an ongoing investigation. The confidential human source who provided information about then Vice President Biden being involved in a criminal bribery scheme is a trusted, highly credible informant who has been used by the FBI for over 10 years and has been paid over six figures. These are facts, and no amount of spin and frankly lies from the White House or congressional Democrats can change this information. At the briefing, the FBI again refused to hand over the unclassified record to the custody of the House Oversight Committee, and we will now initiate contempt of Congress hearings this Thursday.
I mean, this is worthy of wall-to-wall coverage, and yet where are the news networks, even the ones that aren't on the propaganda side? You mean guilty of a bribery scheme? You've got a whistleblower, an informant, and then the FBI, according to some of these Republicans that are in on the negotiations, try to get the documents so that they can just see it. According to them, the FBI is saying, well, you know, one of the informants, if we reveal his identity, his life is in danger. His life is in danger. Who's going to kill him? Who would threaten his life? Is it the Russians? Is it someone inside the FBI? Is it someone outside the FBI? Well, I guess we can't know those things. It's just Chris Wray saying, we've got to keep our sources confidential, and we can't reveal this document either because the investigation, you see, is ongoing. Here is a case, contrast it with Comey, with what Comey said at the top. Here is a case where the investigations, there's no hurry. No, in this case, you want to stretch it out. You want it to go really slow. I mean, the documents from 2020, we're talking about 4 years already. So the ongoing investigation, that's code for never-ending investigation, because as long as the investigation's always going on, you can hide behind it. But the one exception is Trump. Trump, I'm not there anymore, says Comey, but if I'm a betting man, I'm thinking Jack Smith is hurrying the investigation because we got to get Trump behind bars quick. We got to get him behind bars as soon as possible. You see how this works? I mean, it's war. So obvious. The battle lines are clearly drawn. They know. Comey knows what's at stake. It's infuriating, though, on the other hand, to see, okay, there's a little bit from Comer. There's a little bit from McCarthy. There's a few other strong statements from Republicans. But where are the authorities? Where's the police? You know, the not the rogue cops. I mean, the ones actually upholding the rule of law. How isn't Chris Wray just being dragged into a committee or arrested by the sergeant at arms? How are they able to get away with this? Well, it's because the communists are in control. Margot Cleveland at The Federalist. The confidential human source behind the detailed allegations that then-Vice President Joe Biden agreed to accept money from a foreign national to affect policy decisions was reportedly highly credible and used by the FBI in multiple investigations going back to the Obama years. It's going back 10 years. Comer said he's made over six figures. He's into the millions, this informant. Now he's coming forward saying, yeah, the Biden family is guilty. Comer's point, as you just heard there, was this is a credible source. And where are the media? They're not interested. They're not interested. They're traveling to Jim Comey's house so that they can sit down and have a nice chat with Jim Comey about how Jack Smith needs to hurry up so that we can get Donald Trump behind bars. It says here, we aren't, it's quoting Chuck Grassley, he's the senator who's been working alongside Comer. And Grassley says, we aren't interested in whether or not the accusations against then-Vice President Biden are accurate. We're not interested. I mean, here again, weak Republicans. Okay, the larger point to be made in this story by Cleveland is that the FBI is covering it all up. I mean, that is scandal on top of scandal. But how about if you come out with a strongly worded statement that condemns both? We've got a president of the United States guilty of treason. And then we've got an FBI over here that's guilty of covering up crimes. That's the way, excuse me for getting a little emotional. That's the way I would word it. You just don't get that from Comer and Grassley and all the rest. Too much weakness. You get it from Donald Trump. Trump's out of power right now. So all that you get from him are the statements. He doesn't control the DOJ or the FBI. This is what terrifies the deep state. This is what terrifies James Comey. That's why he's out on the circuit trying to warn you about not just the bad orange man. It's got to be Joe Biden. Nobody else. No one else but Biden. I'll come up with the acronym for tomorrow's show. No one but Biden. What's that? N-O-B-B. No one but Biden. Let's say no one but Joseph Robinette Biden. How about that? Listen again. One last clip from Jim Comey, number 7.
Given his affinity for Putin and his outlook on the war, do you expect or should we expect Russia to interfere on his behalf in 2024 if he's the nominee?
Yes, of course. I mean, Vladimir Putin does not want Joe Biden to be president of the United States for reasons that I hope the American people see, because he acts in our national interest. He would very much like Donald Trump to be president again, because Donald Trump is, for reasons I still can't explain, very, very fond of Vladimir Putin. And so they will find ways to interfere. I hope our intelligence community is equipped to respond, maybe better than we did in 2016, but they'll come for this election.
Of course. We've come full circle. The Russians interfered to cheat for Trump and to actually interfere in a way where Trump wouldn't have won otherwise. So 2016 was rigged, says James Comey. Now, 2020, that was perfect. That everything about that was perfect. Now we're already talking about 2024. Rigged. Of course Russia's coming after us again. And hopefully we'll be more prepared than 2016 when they rigged it for Trump then. You see what he's saying? This is unbelievable. This is a nice back and forth with the chief propagandist of Joe Biden and the dirtiest cop in American history. And it's what passes for some good commentary about the political process in the United States. And the reason they can get away with this is because of the corrupt media. On Sunday, Chuck Todd, he announced that this is his last summer for broadcasting on Meet the Press. So serious. Listening to him. This right here is comedy gold. Listen to Chuck Todd, his assessment of NBC's standards and the way that he has reported in his years at Meet the Press. Clip 8.
I'll be honest, though. I leave feeling concerned about this moment in history, but reassured by the standards we've set here. We didn't tolerate propagandists. And this network and program never will. But it doesn't mean sticking your head in the sand either. If you ignore reality, you'll miss the biggest story. Being a real political journalist isn't about building a brand. It's about reporting what's happening and explaining why it's happening and letting the public absorb the facts.
These are the chief propagandists out there saying, listen, all we've been doing is reporting the facts. I mean, we don't put up with propaganda. Not on this show. Not on Meet the Press. Not on MSNBC. Not Jen Psaki. Certainly not Chuck Todd. Not James Comey. They're all in on it, aren't they? Obviously. Battle lines are drawn. And they don't think it, but in many ways, they're coming right out and telling you, look, here's the quiet part. It's not even just anyone but Trump. It's got to be Joe Biden again. And by that, they mean it's got to be Obama. Obama's got to maintain control. Comey said as much in his sit down with Jen Psaki. When we come back, I've already gone a little over time, and we're going to have to cut a few things out until tomorrow. But we will finish today's show with my father's PAC comments from Wilmington, Delaware. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
As I said at the top of the show, we were in Wilmington, Delaware for a couple of days where there was a personal appearance campaign on Sunday. My father giving the address, going for more than an hour and a half, and then all the conversation, the fellowship that we were able to have afterwards. And then Monday evening, we had the Celtic Throne performance. And we've got feedback from all of these events. What we will do, given the time constraints, we'll reserve the Celtic Throne feedback for tomorrow's show. But I should add here that tomorrow evening is the show that's, I think, about 70 miles up the road from Wilmington. That's at York, Pennsylvania. I think there's already 550 that have purchased tickets for that particular performance. So that's tomorrow night in York. Just go to CelticThrone.com and you can get all the information, the dates. You can get to ticket purchases on that website as well. That's CelticThrone.com. Don't miss the performance tomorrow night at York. Tomorrow morning, if you watch the show live, you can hear the feedback from last night's show in Wilmington. So now we'll continue on with my father's segment. This goes for about 15 minutes, his opening remarks at the PAC event in Wilmington on Sunday. And then following that, immediately, we'll go straight into the feedback from the PAC event on Sunday. And then the program will conclude. So we'll see you next time.
You know yourself, if you know what's happening in this country, that Americans are asking, what is going on in this country? What is happening to our country? And it really, you can see it as well as I can. We can deny it, or we can hope it isn't true, but it is true. And it's going to get a lot worse if we don't listen to God. And I mean very soon. And I don't see many signs that that's going to happen. So nobody has an answer to this problem. Where do you find an answer? People are confused, they're deceived, and most of them are often just even traitorous at times toward their own country. So I have my views, but I will tell you this, my views come from the Bible, and I think they're not sound. If that's not the case, we're not going to go any place. But America Under Attack explains what is happening in America today. And why is it happening? Now look at it. You know, for over 200 years, this nation has been blessed like no other. Why is it not blessed now? If you know something about our founding fathers, let me tell you, they were a lot more religious than our people are today. A lot more. And then when we first began this nation, they even had the idea in their minds to restore the very government of God on this, or in this nation. That's what their goal was. Now, they fell short of that, but we're falling a lot more short of those things today. Now, it's not only America that's under attack. There are two other nations that are allied with us. That would be the British and the British peoples, and also the Jewish state in the Middle East. And God says, if you want to look at the prophecies bluntly, over in Hosea 5 and verse 5, he says there are three nations there, and if you know what those names mean, it's the ancient names of America, Britain, and the Jewish state, and God says they are going to fall together unless they heed God's warning message, the last message he's going to give our people. That is the... I can show you many prophecies that tell you that. That's not anything that you can't prove. But let me tell you, a lot of people are very sad and discouraged and don't have hope. But that's not true in our church, in our colleges. We have another one in Britain, and we have an institute, an institute of archaeology in Jerusalem. So we have a lot of things going on around the world, but God's wrath. I mean, really, now if you know what it says about God, I'm sure all of you do, a lot of it at least. You know about, and you know God has to have wrath toward what's happening in this land. It's the most sickening thing that you can imagine at times when you see what people are doing. And let me tell you, it is by design. Now, what could be the case? There are a lot of people out there praying for God to stop this terrible problem. And is he answering them? And no, he isn't. Because God isn't going to solve those problems until we repent. And I mean a real repentance that's right there in your Bible. Now, you can have your views. You're certainly entitled to that. Abraham Lincoln said, this is the last best hope of mankind. I agree with that. as far as just looking at it humanly. But not even Abraham Lincoln or anybody is going to save this nation unless they repent. And that's what God says to us in over 100 prophecies that I could talk to you about. But America and Britain and the Jewish state have failed God, because God gave America and Britain those birthright blessings. The British people had the greatest empire ever on this earth. And it was because of God's blessings, birthright blessings. America has been the strongest single nation ever on this earth. And why is that? It's all because of the birthright blessing. That's what it's all about. And then, of course, there's the scepter promise to the Jews that there would always be a king sitting on David's throne on this earth right up until the time that Jesus Christ returns. Now, that requires a certain amount of responsibility for us to prove a lot of things. I'd like to begin over in 2 Kings 14 and verse 26. And if you have your Bibles, well, you can certainly go right there with me. But it says here, "For the Eternal saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter." Now, I'll tell you this a little bit about the kings here. That is one of the former prophets. And it's in the Old Testament, but it's most of that prophecy from these former prophets is for our day today. We prove that all the time in my booklet on the former prophets. After all, those books were written by prophets. Written by prophets of God. And quite a few of them were killed because they delivered those messages. And you know, if you know the Bible, that a lot of that happened. And many of these books that we study were written by God's people in jail, like the Apostle Paul. But anyhow, "For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel." He sees this, that it was very bitter. Well, how about that? He's talking about right now. Very bitter. "For there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel." And the Farrar Fenton translation reads, "For the ever living pitied the immeasurable miseries of Israel, both without and within, when there was no ease for Israel." People are concerned, they're afraid, and should be, if we don't put it in God's hand. But God says to his people, don't be afraid of that, because we know exactly what's going to happen. And occasionally God's leaders, well, they will be persecuted, and God's people will be persecuted at times. But God says, if you will get out and deliver this message to this world, deliver my message, I'll let you sit on David's seat with Jesus Christ and rule the world for 1,000 years. And then after that, you can rule the entire universe. And you just saw a picture of it from the web telescope. We're seeing that universe like no time ever before. Do you suppose God might have had a hand in that? Why would God recreate himself? That's his purpose. Why would he do that and punish us so? Because we do have to have the character of God, the integrity of God, if we're ever going to rule, and if we're ever going to be in God's family, God's kingdom of God. Notice verse 27. "And the Eternal said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven." Under heaven. Anybody who's ever lived under heaven, he's going to resurrect them. If they're already dead and didn't know God, he's going to resurrect them and give them a chance for the first time of really knowing God and what God's plan is. But note that the Lord said not that he would blot out the name of Israel. What is happening in that's making these people bitter is somebody is blotting out the name of Israel, or attempting to do so. God said they'd never do it. But that's what it's all about. They're trying to blot out the name of Israel because that's God's master plan, and he really does have a plan, and there isn't a person in this room that can't, with just enough study and prayer and submission to God, can know that in your mind. Any one of you and anybody in this world, if they just let God give them repentance. It is a gift that God gives us if we want it. You can look at Psalm 83, and it talks about here these Gentile nations, and some Israelite nations as well, are with them. Well, in that case, maybe not. But anyhow, with the Holy Roman Empire, there are Israelite nations with them. But it says in Psalm 83 that they're setting out to blot out Israel. That's clearly in a Psalm 83. So today, you see, we need to know who these people are, and all of those names of the modern day nations are in the Bible. And it's not too difficult to figure out which ones are which. It's not that difficult at all. But there's great hope in all this. Herbert Armstrong had this to say. Consider why God created mankind in the first place, Mr. Armstrong wrote. God is reproducing himself through man. God is reproducing himself through man. That's a big, big goal God has. But he tried to do that without sacrificing his son and having the angels rule the universe. And Lucifer came to this earth and ruled it. But then he decided he wanted to rebel against the government. And God says, well, I cannot ever have the angels do it. They're not qualified to do it. They don't have the potential to do it. The only person that can do it is myself, and I'll recreate myself in man. Now, that's why we're here. And that's why I believe you understand that there's a lot ahead of us that is just mind-boggling, wonderful things. Mr. Armstrong went on to say he's the founder of God's church, the sixth era of God's church, and we are the seventh era, and we show you how to prove that. God is reproducing himself through man. He is creating in man God's own perfect, holy, and righteous spiritual character. And that, in turn, is purposed to restore the government of God over all the earth, and further to create billions of God beings to finish the creation of the vast, unfinished universe. What a future. What a future. All the people that have been on this earth under heaven are going to get that opportunity. If they hadn't, and most of them never had it before. God is giving us an opportunity today to be the very bride of Jesus Christ and sit on David's throne forever and rule with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now that's something that's breathtaking. It's phenomenal beyond describing. But why would God offer so much to just human beings, mud, clay, dust? Why would God do that? Because in this plan, he's recreating himself. And that is that even God can't do anything greater than that. And we have all this to take into our mind. Now, if you don't believe that's in the Bible, well, you don't know the Bible. And I will challenge you on that anytime. So These are wonderful days in spite of all the trouble.
Well, it was very nice. We feel very blessed to be able to see this. We're from actually Indiana, currently living in New Jersey, so we were actually at the Millville show, Celtic Throne show, which was really good.
The show at Millville was amazing. Yeah. I mean, everything that they said, the energy. I can't believe kids were doing that. That's what blew my mind.
Yeah, it was nice to be able to come here and see everybody in person.
Yeah, that was a treat.
I think even the idea of the Bible studies in person, I think that's a great idea. That's something that we would love to participate in.
Years ago, I was reading about the Trump, about the plain truth. I'd see the plain truth. I grew up in a poor household, and that was a free magazine. So I wasn't raised in a Christian household. We were Christians, but by name only, nominal Christians. And so, you know, and I didn't understand enough about worldly events, history, as a young boy, maybe early middle school years, to really appreciate it. But it's funny, one day I was talking to another godly man about the plain truth, and he said, well, it still exists. And he went out to his truck and brought me in a copy of The Trumpet.
It was wonderful.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, enjoyed it very much. Yeah, I've been reading The Trumpet for probably at least a year. My first read, I was hooked.
Huge blessing. I've been waiting a long time to get around, especially to have Celtic Throne in conjunction with it. This is like the kingdom on earth. It's awesome.
What I heard, it was good. I liked when he talked about in Ezekiel, about us really knowing what is going on. And you can see clearly how we are under attack.
It's got something. So I thought it was very good, yes.
Yeah.
And I love the PAX. It gives me a chance to meet people. This is my first PAX here.
Oh, great.
And that I only hear on radio. I get to see him in person, so I thought it was great.
Really enjoyed seeing Mr. Fleury in person. After seeing him on TV and his son, Stephen, for so many years, you feel like you know them, you know? Mm-hmm. So it was really nice. And the people here are fantastic. So nice and helpful and caring. They care about others. You could tell.